got your Bibles with you, I want to look at the book of Philippians, familiar passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, I want to look at verses 4 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, please hear this public reading of God's Word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Very familiar passage. I really just want to focus in on the middle of verse 11 and 12. Middle of verse 11, Paul says, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You see, Paul says, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. When Paul became a Christian, he didn't just automatically have this perfect contentment. He realized this was something he needed to make progress in. This is something he needed to grow on. He needed to learn this contentment. So as we come to our time of confession today, the question would be, can we honestly say that we have learned to be content, or have we seen some discontentment in us recently? Well, in terms of Christian contentment, in terms of answering that question, we probably need to understand what is Christian contentment. A Puritan writer who's written on this subject says that Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. So we freely submit to and we delight in God's fatherly and wise disposal in every condition. That's what Christian contentment is. So have we learned this type of contentment in our lives? Well, think about the sin of discontentment and how it can rise up within us. Jerry Bridges has written on this. He says, discontentment may be triggered among committed Christians by unchanging circumstances, can cause discontentment to rise up. He says things like an unfulfilling job, singleness well into midlife or beyond, inability to have children, physical disabilities, continual poor health, all these things can give rise to discontentment. And when we fall prey to the sin of discontentment so often, like other sins, multiple sins can come up from the sin of discontentment. I mean, think about it. If we're filled with discontentment, we're not going to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4 that we read, we're going to be blinded to the goodness and mercy of God that is following us, that is pursuing us, that is always with us. But not only that, if we're filled with discontentment, say we are dealing with singleness well into midlife, and we keep getting these announcements that more of our friends are engaged, and another engagement notice comes, and instead of rejoicing when we get that news, which we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice, instead of rejoicing, say we are irritated by it, or our bitterness rises up within us, or maybe envy rises up within us. Well, if that is going on, then we can be sure that discontentment is the root cause of these other sins that are coming out of discontentment. So how do we make progress with this sin of discontentment? Well, I think in this letter, in chapter 4 in particular, verses 6 and 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we take whatever is causing discontentment and we cast it on the Lord, like Mark was just talking about in 1 Peter 5. We cast our cares on the Lord, knowing he cares for us. So whatever it is, no matter how small it may be, are we taking whatever ails us and we're taking it out and just laying it before the Lord? I mean, this is just a privilege that we can pray about whatever is going on in our life. So are we casting it on the Lord? Next, I would say what Jerry Ediger said last Sunday. He said we need to camp on the promises of God. We need to camp on the promises of God. Say we're dealing with some kind of physical suffering that's just going on and on and on in our lives. Well, then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, which says, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary and transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So this, whatever suffering, it may be years of suffering compared to 10 billion years from now. It's light and momentary when we compare it to eternity. So we camp on the promises of God. Lastly, I would say, this is not an exhaustive list, but lastly, I would say, we go to church history, we see people who have suffered and remained steadfast and faithful, who have not given in to the sin of discontentment. I'll just use one example just for time. I love this story from Martin Lloyd-Jones. I'm sure I've used it before. Martin Lloyd-Jones, considered by many one of the greatest preachers of last century. I mean, just his logic and his passion mixed together in an unusual way. People called it logic on fire. That was Lloyd-Jones. And after years and years of successful ministry, he was, a few weeks before he died, he was very weak. He could hardly walk from his bedroom to his chair and then back to his bedroom, and he would be totally wiped out of all of his energy. And a friend of his came to see Martin Lloyd-Jones and asked him, "You know, Dr. Jones, after all these years of successful ministry, how are you coping? Now that you can barely walk from your bedroom to this chair and you're just done, you're exhausted, how are you dealing with it?" And Lloyd-Jones responded with the words of Jesus from Luke 10, verse 20, that says, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." D.A. Carson, commenting on that, said that what Lloyd-Jones is saying is, do not tie your joy, your ultimate joy, to success in ministry. Do not tie it to success in your career. Tie your joy to your salvation. Tie it to the fact that you are known and loved by God. Tie it to the sublime truth that your names are written in heaven. That can never be taken away from you. And then Lloyd-Jones responded to his friend. He said, "I am perfectly content." So hang with me just for a second here. This past week, my wife and I saw a documentary called Apollo 11. It came out last year. They had uncovered some old footage that they didn't even know was in existence. And just, it's amazing. Now that it's high definition, 1969, you're there. You feel like you're there. The Saturn V rocket, they're on top of this 300-foot rocket. They take off. It just looks incredible. And they head off into space. You know, they orbit around the Earth, and they head off towards the moon. This is Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins. They head off for the moon. And they're heading around the dark side of the moon. And I was struck again by sort of the bigness of God, just the amazing power of God that He created all of this. And the Earth is just a speck, a tiny, tiny, tiny speck in the universe. And God created it all. I was struck by the awesome power of God and His majesty. But almost back to back, I was struck by the fact that God, this God, sent His Son into the world out of love for the world. He sent His Son into the world to redeem us, to save us, to ransom us. And He has purchased us by His blood. And if we turn from sin and trust in Christ, we are forgiven and we're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I was just struck by the gospel. And when we become believers, God now looks at us through the death of His Son, as D.A. Carson says, and He declares us just. To be declared righteous by this Creator God, this Judge, is infinitely more precious than anything else one can imagine. It is infinitely more important than having all the laurels of the world. So we go to the gospel, and we go to the staggering reality of the gospel, and we press it in deep inside of us, and then we can say, no matter what the situation, we can say, I am perfectly content. So have we learned this type of biblical contentment, or have we seen some discontentment in us recently? I'll give you a few moments to pray. Silently, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just thankful for Your precious Word that we hold so close to us, that we have it in a language that we understand. What a profound privilege to have Your Word. And Father, we are thankful for this wonderful little letter of Paul's to the Philippian church. What a wonderful letter it is. And we're thankful for chapter 4 that is just packed with so much rich truth. But Father, as we think about how Paul had to learn contentment and we think about our own lives, we must confess that so often we haven't arrived at learning complete and full Christian contentment. So often we have been filled with discontentment about our circumstances. Many times it's been unchanging circumstances that it has caused discontentment to rise up within us. So Father, forgive us
for our discontentment. And so often, Father, from discontentment, other sins have risen up from us, so we would ask for forgiveness for those other sins like envy and other sins that have risen up from that discouragement and other sins that rise up. So forgive us for those sins as well. But Father, we are thankful for the gospel. We're thankful and amazed that our names are written in heaven. What an incredible reality, Father. Help us to tie our joy, not to anything on earth, but help us to tie our joy to the gospel. Help us to tie our joy to the sublime truth that our names are written in heaven. And Father, help us to make progress in this area. Help us to learn to be content no matter what the situation. Father, I just pray that you would continue to use this time to glorify yourself, especially as we sing this next song, and pray that it would continue to stir our affections for you. And I pray that you'd use Mark in a powerful way as he teaches us from the book of Exodus. Help us to be attentive to your word, and help us to apply your word to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.